I'd like to welcome everyone back to our service this evening. Brother Ryan did a very good job this morning on giving us an overview of those acts of worship. This afternoon, my topic is the collection or giving. And for the text, I've used 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, and also 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7. And there the Bible says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." And then in 2 Corinthians 9 and 7, there it says, "So let each one of you give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." You know, through the years, some have said to ridicule the idea of the five acts of worship. When we understand that the Bible concept of worship involves an act of reverence to God, then we can realize that certain acts are acceptable to God as worship, because he has authorized them for that purpose. Most people have no trouble or no problem agreeing that prayer and singing, the Lord's Supper, and even Bible preaching fit into the general category of our worship in the Church of Christ. The fact is that in giving, as the New Testament instructs, each Christian is performing an act of reverence to God. When we understand this, we should have no trouble accepting this act as an act of worship. Among many churches of Christ, visitors are sometimes surprised to find that there is not a lot of passing the plate to take up an offering. A collection is taken only once on Sunday, as the Bible instructs, the first day of the week. No collection is taken during any other time, such as midweek services or special events like gospel meetings or the such. Our desire is to follow the New Testament pattern, not just in giving, but in every aspect of church worship. And that was pointed out very well this morning. To follow the example and principles found in the early church to guide us. God asked this question through his prophet Malachi. Malachi 3, verse 8 through verse 10. There it says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me. Even this whole nation, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven, and pour out for you such blessing, that there will not be room enough to receive it." There was one reference that indicated that in the New Testament, an average of one out of every six verses has to do with giving. I'm not sure I agree with that. But after studying the topic, I can tell you there are many, many verses that have to do with giving. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. You know, I was thinking earlier I don't remember hearing a lot of lessons concerning the collection. I told Brother Monica, I said, maybe there has been, and maybe I just wasn't paying attention or something. But I went back and looked at some of the notes, and I think the last time that we did Church of Christ 101 was back in 2014, but I'm not sure about that. I know we've had lessons about Church of Christ 101 during the past, but after that time, time, but I think that was when we actually had that topic. I'm not sure about that, but this afternoon as we start, we're going to take into consideration some verses from the Old Testament. And we do that because in Romans 15, verse 4, there it says, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope." And so, this afternoon in the Old Testament, giving was specified in both the patriarchal age and also in the Mosaical age. The giving of one-tenth is generally associated with these two ages. Abraham paid one-tenth to Melchizedek, king of Salem. We read that in Genesis 14, verse 18 through 20. And also we read that in Hebrews 7 and verse 4. In Genesis 28 and verse 22, Jacob dedicated one-tenth to Jehovah. There we read, "And this stone, which I have set as a pillar, shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth to you." In Leviticus 27, verses 30 through 34, there it commands Israel to give one-tenth of all possessions. We read there, beginning in verse 30, "And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed or of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord." If a man wants at all to redeem any of his tithes, he shall add one-fifth to it. And concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, of whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. He shall not inquire whether it is good or bad, nor shall he exchange it. And if he exchanges it at all, then both it and the one exchanged for it shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel on Mount Sinai. In Deuteronomy 14, verse 22 through 27, there it describes a second tithe which the people were to consume at the feast at Jerusalem. And in Deuteronomy 14, verse 28 through 29, there it mentions a third tithe for the poor to be given every 3 years. We begin reading in verse 22. "You shall truly tithe all the increase of your gain that the field produces year by year. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide. The tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil, of the firstborn of your herds, of your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But if the journey is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Lord your God has blessed you, then you shall exchange it for money. Take the money in your hand and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses. And you shall spend that money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep, for wine or similar drink, for whatever your heart desires. You shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. You shall not forsake the Levite who is within your gates, for he has no part nor inheritance with you. At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do." Leviticus 25, verse 3 and verse 4, "6 years you shall sow your field, and 6 years you shall prune your vineyard and gather its fruit. But in the seventh year there shall be a Sabbath of solemn rest for the land, a Sabbath to the Lord. You shall neither sow your field nor prune your vineyard. References show that when all this is calculated, it is estimated that from 25% to 40% of the income of a devout Jew was to be devoted to the Lord in one way or the other. Psalms 24 and verse 1 was taken very seriously. There it says, "The earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell within." When we take in consideration the New Testament under the law of Christ, instead of stating an exact amount, God simply lays down certain principles to guide us. We should consider these verses when contemplating what we will set aside for our contribution on the first day of the week. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 through verse 19, Paul gives instructions to the rich to trust in God and be willing to distribute to others. He says there, "Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life." Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, verse 19 through verse 21, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where three thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Also, we should consider what Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 31 through verse 33. "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you are in need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10. There the Apostle Paul says, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. For which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." And Jesus tells us in Luke 16, verse 10 through verse 13, "He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the righteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Jesus said in Luke 6 and verse 38, "Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." There are many more examples and many more verses that we can take into consideration as each week we prepare to put aside our offering for the first day of the week. In our text, the Apostle Paul presents a five-part plan for giving as he writes the two letters to the Corinthians. From our text, once again, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. And in 2 Corinthians 9:7, so let each of you give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. His plan can be summed up in 5 words. Each word begins with the letter P. It is periodic, personal, proportionate, preventive, and purposeful. I want you to look closely. Periodic, upon the first day of the week. Personal, let each of you. Proportionate, lay something aside. Preventive, that there be no collections when I come. And purposeful, as he purposes in his heart. Paul uses the church of Macedonia as an example for our giving. There in 2 Corinthians 8:1-5, it says, "Moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded in the riches of their liberality. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they were freely willing, employing us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And not only as we had hoped, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God." The giving of one's financial means is not only a part of one's overall responsibility as a Christian, but a person's willingness to turn loose freely and fully of the things God has given him is a test of true faithfulness. Notice what it says in 2 Corinthians 8:8. There the Apostle Paul says, "I speak not by commandment, but I am testing the sincerity of your love by the diligence of others." That is the New King James Version. Other translations say this. Bible in Basic English says, "I am not giving you an order, but using the ready mind of others as a test of the quality of your love." And the ESV, the English Standard Version, says, "I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love is also genuine." I want you to notice the negative marks in giving of one's means. It says, "not grudgingly." This means not out of sorrow. Giving is not to be done out of grief or remorse. We should never feel sorry that we gave. It's not of necessity. A Christian should not feel that he or she is being forced to give. Giving is not tithing. Tithing is of the Old Testament, of the old dispensations, not under the new law of Christ. Tithing pertained to the times of the tabernacle and the temple, and not to the Lord's church. Now look at the positive marks in giving of one's means. It is done out of faith. Those who lack faith and commitment will give sparingly. It is done by liberality and bountifulness. It is purposeful. The amount is decided beforehand. It is forgiven cheerfully. The Greek word translated cheerfulness signifies readiness of mind, joyfulness, which is prompt to do anything. As we consider this teaching on the collection, there may be reasons Our giving should be more than that of those under the Old Testament. Think about this reasoning. First of all, we are not under a covenant containing the blood of bulls and goats. We are under a better covenant, the covenant purchased by the atoning blood of our Lord and Savior. We are not under a system of works. We are under a system of faith. We are not under a system of tabernacles and temples. We are under God's plan with the church, the kingdom of God. We are not under an earthly high priest. We are under a heavenly high priest, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are not under a covenant that only rolled our sins forward. We are under a covenant wherein our sins can be totally forgiven. Our desire in seeking first the kingdom of God is to make decisions that would allow us to exceed those of the Old Testament. In closing, listen to these words from the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and 7. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10 and verse 11, now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. So the question, why should we treasure the grace of giving as a part of our worship to God? Number one, it is commanded in the law of Christ. Number two, it is demonstrated and exemplified for us by the early church. Number three, it is God's will that we do so and that we desire to do so. Number four, we are laying up treasures in heaven when we give to God. Number five, the work of Christ and his church moves forward. And number six, it is in God's plan for man's salvation. If there be anyone that is subject to the gospel call, we bid you come while we stand and sing.